Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth, on this tremendous Thursday.
All right.
Today's call, we're going to talk about seven deadly, D-E-B-T-L-Y.
Well, it's deadly, really.
But we're going to make it about seven deadly sins. I know what it says. I know you're familiar with the seven deadly sins, which are pride, greed, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, and slothfulness. Here are the seven kingdom virtues which overcome those seven deadly sins.
You changed things on me.
I did.
Yes, you did.
Humility overcomes pride. Generosity overcomes greed. Love overcomes envy. Kindness overcomes anger. Self-control overcomes lust. Temperance overcomes gluttony, and zeal overcomes slothfulness. However, we're not going to talk about the seven deadly sins today, maybe some other time. Today, maybe for a couple days, we're going to discuss the seven deadly, D-E-B-T-L-Y.
We have discussed it before, but it always bears repeating reminded of.
It does.
And today we do it.
Number one, my background, circumstances, and surroundings determine my financial destiny. When you believe your past determines your future, you're dismissing the power of God to change your life.
That's right.
Yes, you're overlooking the greatest strategic relationship anyone could ever have. And that's not a very smart thing to do. Here are the seven reasons why your background, circumstances, and surroundings do not determine your financial destiny. First, you're not on a fixed income. Thinking that you live on a fixed income will cause you to fall into the traps of the enemy. Make no mistake, the enemy wants you thinking in terms of limitations. He wants you to believe that where you are is where you're going to stay the rest of your life. He wants you to believe that you have no choice in your destiny. That's a lie straight from Satan. It's going to spend eternity. Here's the reality. The world system and or the government may place limits on your income. But God.
Hallelujah.
But God never will. Mark 9:23, one of our favorites.
That's it.
In God's Word translation. Jesus said to him, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes.
Hallelujah.
The scripture just ignites, that scripture ignites our faith and stirs our spirit to new levels of expectation. Everything is possible for the person. That's me. That's you who believes. Several days ago, I shared nothing is impossible. But I find that we need, at least I need, to be continually reminded of the truth found in God's Word. That's why we will continually remind each of us that there is no limitation to our manifestation. The Message Bible translation of Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen.
Think about that.
All things are possible, anything, no matter how illogical to the natural mind. Anything can happen in our lives as we exercise our faith in the Word. Hallelujah. Exercising our faith in the Word. Think about that. The scripture also says there's nothing impossible to those who believe. Wow. Luke 1:37 Classic Amplified. For with God, nothing's ever impossible. And no word from God shall ever be without power or impossible of fulfillment.
Wow.
As a child of God who functions with the mind of Christ, each of us need to understand there's nothing impossible to those who believe. Matthew 17:20, Classic Amplified. For truly I say unto you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.
Amen. Second, eliminate the poverty mentality. Poverty is like having a devil's anointing. Poverty happens inside you before it happens around you. And poverty will not keep you out of heaven, but it sure may keep some others out if we can't fund the gospel and send it around the world. Poverty is a dream destroyer. There is something worse, however, than poverty. It's the reason behind poverty, and it's called poor thinking. A poverty mentality will hold a person hostage to the belief that there is no other choice, no way out.
That's right.
Totally unscriptural philosophy. Being poor, yes, is a choice anywhere in the world, but especially if you live in the United States. A person or family may not have chosen to live in poverty, but they definitely have accepted their situation and chosen to stay there. Too many Christians have believed the devil's lie. Satan says some people are destined to be poor and some people are destined to be rich, and there's nothing anyone can do about either circumstance. That satanic lie has crippled more of God's people for the longest time, but the truth is not in it. Deuteronomy 15:4-5 in the Classic Amplified says, "But there will be no poor people among you, for the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance to possess. If only you carefully listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do watchfully all these commands which I command you this day." So, what does the Lord say to his people? First, there will be no poor among you. Second, the Lord will bless you. You know, the blessing of the Lord is what makes you rich. Third, God is giving you an inheritance to possess. Fourth, part of it, if only. Fifth, the last part of it, you listen to his voice. Sixth, you do what he says to do. And seventh, which he was giving to them that day. He's given us a word full of promises, and we need to take them to heart. So we'd say that the seven pretty powerful things about Deuteronomy 15:4-5 will take you where God wants you to go. And where do you want to go?
And it is so powerful. Third, gain the victory over the victim complex. Have you ever been around people who entertain you? That sounds better than wine, with stories of their latest mishap, tragedy, calamity, problem, or circumstance that has attacked them. It's an absolute fact that you can't be a victim and move forward in life. If your self-image is of someone who is continually victimized, and then what you confirm to people around you, it will result in you becoming, well, it'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy. You will repel love, defer happiness, attract illness or injuries, and sabotage any financial or business success. You will be attracting like things into your life every time you use these excuses. You have a choice in life, to be a victim or a victor, but you can't be both. By all means, stop looking back and rehashing what happened in the past. Luke 9:62, contemporary English version. Jesus answered, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom." We want to be clear. People with a victim mentality will always be poor and disappointed. That's just a fact. Never complain about anything that you and God can change.
Fourth, stop making negative confessions. Your words will either bring you reward or they'll bring punishment. Our destiny is not determined by what we do as much as by what we say, and that determines what we do. Proverbs 12:14, contemporary English version says, "We are rewarded or punished for what we say and do."
It's true.
Your words have consequences. We have to decide whether they're going to be good or evil. Proverbs 18:20, said this many times. Proverbs 18:20, Classic Amplified 21. Says,
"Oh, 20. Yeah.
A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words, he must be satisfied, whether good or evil."
Wow.
Words are either going to bring life or death to our situation, but the decision is all up to us and in our mouth, right?
That's it.
Proverbs 18:21. That's what you were thinking about. 18:21 Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Now that, my friends, should be a no-brainer.
That's it.
If we feel like we have nothing to give, for heaven's sakes, don't say it. The words that we speak empower or disable the blessings of God. Angels respond to his word. We love it. Which is why you should be speaking words of faith over your finances, regardless of your current situation. Read Psalm 103:20. There have been times that we used to say we were so broke we couldn't pick up all the pieces. But we didn't ever say we didn't have anything to give. And God made a way when it didn't seem like there was any way to always have something to give.
True.
Sadly, there is a shortage mentality among many people, many believers, that their immediate subconscious response is, well, I don't have anything to give. That is not true in this day and age. But if it's going to become true if you keep believing it and confessing it to be so. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, and God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. I want to read that again. He will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity.
Hallelujah.
So what we're planting is what we're reaping. The key phrase in this verse is God will provide seed for the sower.
Yes.
If you're not a sower, then he's not providing because you're not sowing anything for him to multiply. When we change how we think and what we speak, then we will never have to worry about saying things that we shouldn't. And let us add, too, if you're sowing $1, if you're sowing $5, the point is he can multiply it back to you. Proverbs 18:20 Contemporary English Version says, make your words good. You will be glad you did.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know.
That's so good.
Listen to us.
I know, honey.
We both have it coming out of our mouth after years of practice.
That's it.
52 years and 3 days, right?
That's
4 days,
it.
Three,
you said
three
it before
days.
I did.
Uh-oh. Anyway.
Time's up for today.
Yeah, well, we're going to
continue this conversation tomorrow.
It'll be good. And not only that, but God is just going to start multiplying. If you're listening to this, get ready.
It's coming.
Things are changing.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. Well, until tomorrow morning at 8:30, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
God bless you. Bye-bye.